Philippians chapter 3. Do appreciate that text message I received today. I was perfectly content to let it ride out, having not finished it. It wasn't so much a two-part, it was more so, I got through the introduction last week and thought, well, we still have the Lord's Supper to do, so I better wrap this up now. But I do appreciate that our pastor noticed that. Thank you, Brother Joe, for reminding him of that. So, administrative assistant.
Stepping up his game.
And I'm very thankful that I get to be up here tonight and hopefully, Lord willing, finish something that was started just with the thought that we began last week, and so I'm looking forward to that. Just before I came up here, Kara said, look at the baby. She's in her thing, and she says, she looks like Brother Jake leading music. And so I look over, and she's sitting there, you know, probably look more like a hula girl than anything else, but the height was the same. So I think she meant more that. Anyways, I got accused of being too serious, all right? I got to lighten it up. All right, Philippians chapter 3, let's read again. We read the whole chapter last week. I want to do that again. I will try to be successful in giving somewhat of a brief review and then just jump back into the few thoughts that I have for us tonight in regards to this message, and we'll see where we can get. Right before we came to church tonight, I got home from work and I was getting ready, and Juliana came up and she said, is Pastor preaching again tonight? And I said, well, he was supposed to, but I'm actually going to fill back in. And she kind of seemed upset, or she was excited that Pastor was stepping back in. And I said, okay. She goes, yeah, all your guys' messages have been lame. Talk about knocking the wind out of your sails before coming to preach. So, yeah. So she was looking forward to you tonight, and I have to disappoint. Philippians chapter 3. Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous. He says, but for you it is safe. I appreciate there's safety in same things. The Lord himself said, I am the Lord, I change not. The further along I go in this journey, the more I appreciate the reiteration, the reminding of just the same things. And it's all the same things that have been written down in this book, and I want to hear them over and over again. And is that not our duty and should be our prerogative as Christians to just rehearse the same things? We don't have to learn new things. When Paul was disputing with the people on Mars Hill, the Bible says that they were always trying to discover something new, and that is all they were concerned about. But that's not the God of the Bible. That's not Scripture. And so it is safe to hear the same things. That's why church is so important. You come and go to a Sunday school class and you hear the same things. And then you go to a church service and you hear preaching and you hear the same things. And so Paul said that it's not grievous to me to reiterate myself. I'm going to keep doing it. And he tells them many, many times in this book alone, rejoice in the Lord. We have a lot to be joyful in. And I like how this chapter begins with rejoicing and the book ends with rejoicing and everything sandwiched in there. You want to have a joyous Christian life, pursue Christ. In fact, if you're not pursuing Christ, you'll very quickly find out I don't have much joy in my life. He says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. We briefly touched upon that last week. There's always going to be people that are going to try and detract us from where we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to be doing, our position in Christ, and our pursuit of Christ. And so he says, beware of those things. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. I mean, essentially, he's reading his resume. This is what I was. He says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. I think sometimes our problem in our life now is there's some things that we haven't lost. But there are, you just say, wow, wasn't that profound, Brother Ryan? I appreciate the support of it. No. You know what? This is good stuff. Thank you, Brother Ryan. I appreciate that. There's some things that we haven't lost. We hold on to a lot of things that hinder us in the Christian life. He says, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. Oh my goodness, I'm stuck there now. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I already had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So much of this almost doesn't even make sense, because we have everything in Christ already. When we get saved, we're given everything that's needed. We have the gift and everything to look forward to in eternity, and we get to spend it with Christ in heaven and all that wonderful stuff. We get that, and not only that, but while we're here, we get the Holy Spirit, and I mean, we're just so blessed. But He's saying, I didn't have to work to earn that, but now that I have it, certainly I'm going to work because of it. In fact, I'm going to now live my life as if I'm earning it, even though He already got it. That's why 12 people were able to completely turn the world upside down, because they lived that way. He says, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. That he's basically saying, I've not arrived. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep pressing forward. And I have not yet attained. I have not yet apprehended. I have not yet achieved. I'm not there yet. I have not arrived. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now he says, this one thing I do. And then he starts listing off like three different things that he does. But that is the crux of the message of what we began last week. Paul is putting forth a mindset. This one thing I do is I have a mindset for moving forward. And really, he's saying, this is how I pursue Christ. Amidst everything that would try and dissuade me from that, this is what I do. I have a mindset for moving forward. He says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Now all of that sure makes sense if we jump back to Him saying, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love You tonight. I just ask that You'd help us tonight with Scripture, Lord. I pray that Your Word would have an effect and an impact on our hearts, Lord. I appreciate the opportunity to gather and to hear from You, Lord. I don't have much to say tonight, but the Word of God does, and I pray that You'd utilize that. Help me to be a mouthpiece and just simply a vessel, Lord, to say something that would be a help to those that are in this room tonight, Lord. Please just take it and utilize it. I pray that Your Word wouldn't return void. And Father, I pray that You'd strengthen our church tonight, Lord. I always ask that of You, because I know that You can. And Father, with all the things that I could say, Lord, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being gracious to me specifically, and thank you for loving on our church the way that you do, for protecting us, fighting for us, Lord. I know you're doing those things. Things could be a whole lot worse than they are, but I know you're behind the scenes and you're working, Lord. So please touch each and every one of us individually and help us collectively, Lord, to accomplish the goal and the mission of the church. And of course, Lord, encourage us to continue our pursuit of your Son. We love you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So by way of review, I'm not going to go over everything, but last week I made a statement that there's truly no higher calling than the one placed upon children of God, one by which we are forgiven of our sin, one by which we are granted eternal life, and one by which we may know personally the Savior, Jesus Christ. We have one book by which we live or die by, one book that never gets old, never loses its relevancy or purpose. We have a limited time here to grow in unlimited understanding of the Lord and all that relates to Him, and we will enjoy an eternity of knowing Him more. I asked some questions just for a simple reflection, but then we went over just a few points. When you read this whole chapter, there's three things you see. Number one was nothing is of greater value than knowing Christ. I mean, you read this passage of Scripture, you should right off the bat understand that nothing is of greater value than knowing Christ. Number two, my efforts can never be exhausted even if I am. It can be very tiring trying to be a Christian in this day and age that we live in. Just trying to keep your mind clear and keep your focus right during the day when you're working or when you get home and you're dealing with your family. And I mean, there's so many things. There's TV and video games and your cell phone and all kinds of different stuff that just surrounds us and occupies our time and occupies space in our minds. And it's hard sometimes. It's exhausting to focus on the Lord in the day that we live. Brother Mike mentioned in his message, I think it was Brother Mike, that there was a time when you were done working when it got dark out because you didn't have any more light. And yet you got people now, and a lot of Christians do it too. They'll stay up and work late and, you know, forsake their families for a paycheck and forsake the Lord for a paycheck. And it's sad. It shouldn't be that way. And so the day and age that we live in, it can be very difficult. It's exhausting. It's very tiring. But the fact of the matter is, when I'm pursuing the Lord, my efforts can never be exhausted. And then another thought was, nothing should deter me from pursuing Christ. He tells us, beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, and he describes out those that we are to mark. But the fact of the matter is, we might be here, but our conversation's in heaven. And so there should be nothing on this earth that should ever stop us. And what we're going to find out tonight as we dive into this a little bit, sometimes our greatest enemy in stopping us from pursuing the Lord isn't so much those that are outside, it's ourselves. Sometimes we got to look in the mirror and say, it's you, buddy. You are the one hindering me. And if we don't realize that sometimes, we can't put the blame on other people and other situations and other circumstances. Sometimes you got to look at yourself and be a Nathan for a moment and point the bony finger at yourself and say, it's you. And so if those three things be the case, then it ought to be our continuous effort. There are always new heights to reach, new depths to discover, and a greater love for and awe of our Lord as we pursue knowing Him on this side of heaven. But it takes a mindset, and one that is clearly exemplified by Paul in our text. And so with all that being said, and what we began last week, I want to preach on this thought, a mindset for moving forward. What better way to start the new year than to realign our scopes and say, hey, let's make sure that we're getting started right and we're moving forward. We're not at a standstill. We got a lot of people sick. We just had a death take place, and there's all kinds of different things taking place in our church, but we can't stall out. We have to move forward. Absolutely vital for us as a church. I didn't even remember coming up on 100 years. So what is our church and our activities and our efforts going to look like up until that point? We can't slow down. We can't stall out. We got to keep moving. But it takes a mindset. And I think Paul teaches us that here. Before we jump in, I just want to first say that it is a privilege that we get to know Christ. It's a privilege. It is a privilege that we get to grow closer and deeper in our knowledge of Him. But let me ask this, how well do you know Him? How well do you know Him? If you don't know your Bible, you don't know Him. If you don't, I mean, you just can't. He is the Word. You don't read it. You don't pay attention to it when it's spoken. If you do not know your Bible, and you don't know what your Bible has to say to matters in your life, you don't know Christ. I'm not saying you're not saved. You can get saved just by understanding the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, obeying the gospel, placing your faith in Him, repenting of your sins, yes. But after that, you never go down that journey of pursuing Him and knowing Him and reading your Bible. You don't know Him. And so with that privilege and that honor of getting to know Christ, how well do you know Him? And is that an ever-increasing pursuit of yours? We all have acquaintances. We all have friends. We all have close friends. We all have family. And then, of course, there's the loved ones in the family. You know, some family you don't feel too fond about sometimes. But we all have those. And we all know how we feel and treat individuals that are in those categories. Just think about how you feel towards those specific people that is in those categories. So let me ask you this. Where does Christ fall in that list? Because if He's matching how you feel towards and how you treat an acquaintance, then can you really say you're pursuing Him? You might say, yeah, Christ is a friend of mine, or but really, Christ should be the most dearest individual to us amongst everybody else in our life. Salvation's not a thing. It's a person. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? If you answer that question honestly, then you can already see what your mindset is towards Him. At this moment in your life, you have to make a decision to either follow after or fall away. And your mindset will reveal where you will end up. Thus, we need a mindset for moving forward. Paul covers a lot of ground in this chapter. And when it comes to our pursuit of Christ, he mentions a few areas of importance. And I don't have the time to delve into it all, but just some things that stood out to me. Right off the bat, he's dealing with our confidence. You want to know, am I pursuing Christ? Where's your confidence lie? Is it more in your flesh? You trust in yourself more? Or are you trusting the Lord? Who do you rely upon to sustain you, protect you, provide for you? Where are you getting spiritual sustenance from? Or are you living day-to-day life trusting more in what you can put on the table rather than what God can do in your home? We've heard the verse many times repeated in recent days, except the Lord build the house. I've had to remind myself of that often because, you know, I get tired and I say, God, I just keep failing and I'm not doing very well at this. And He says, well, when are you going to stop confiding in your flesh and step aside and let me do something? When are you going to start praying and asking for me to step in and lead the show? And so Paul already starts covering confidence. So where's your confidence at tonight? He starts covering our considerations. Take an inventory of your life and figure out how much value you place on things and what you really consider to be of value in your life. And that answers the question of what you are pursuing. And he says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Where do we fall on that scale tonight? Another one, he covers our conforming. He says in verse 9, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. So what are we trusting in? What are we considering to be of value in our lives? Are we, while we are here, conforming into His image? Because if we are not, then we cannot say we have a mindset for moving forward. We cannot truthfully say that we are pursuing Christ. He deals as well with our continuing. And He lists out the things that He's doing. Reaching forth and pressing toward the mark. And that's an easy one to figure out. How often do we stall out? How often are we stopping? How often do we just do things just for the sake of routine? I think I said it last week, and it was something that really bothered me. How many times do we come to church and we walk out having been to a Sunday school? No, let me back up. Having been to a prayer room? Having been to a Sunday school assembly? Having been to a Sunday school class? Having been to the morning preaching service? And then we walk out of here. I mean, it's, you know, as adults, we like to get in the car and ask our children, "What'd you learn today in children's church?" "Oh, you don't know? What'd you learn in Sunday school?" "Oh, you don't remember? Were you even paying attention?" Ask yourself that question. What'd you learn in Sunday school today? What'd you learn in the preaching service? Now listen, I'm not saying you got to remember the outline point for point for point, but every time somebody's preaching, I sit back and I just listen and say, "Okay, God, I know there's going to be something here for me. Maybe it's all of it. Maybe all of it needs to be applied." But usually, it's just some statement that's made that I say, "Yeah, that's it." And I need to then take that for me. And then I walk out of there, and I should be remembering, we should be remembering, what did God say to you today? I don't care if you remember the title of a message. I don't care if you remember what the Sunday school series was called. But if you go week after week after week, and you cannot name a single thing that God has said to you during a church service, then you have stalled out. And so He deals with our conforming. He deals with our continuing. And then He deals with our conversation. Our conversation is in heaven. Listen, where we're at right now, the Bible says, "Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh." I think we've got our head in the sand most of the time. And so with all that being said, I want to finally jump into this mindset that I've been teasing, if you will. The first thing we see Paul do, and it's all throughout the passage of Scripture, but if we just look at verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." I love that. "I've not arrived. I still have a teachable spirit. I've made it this far in my journey and I'm still going. I'm not stopping. There's so much more to learn. I'm never going to fully grasp it. I have not fully apprehended. But this one thing I do." He says, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I just want to give you three somewhat simple thoughts here regarding this aspect or this verse of Scripture here. It's a mindset for moving forward, and there's three aspects. If we just adopt these, if you take these aspects of a mindset and say, "You know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to, with intentionality, filter my methods and what I do through these aspects, and I want to make sure that I have this mindset," then we can be just as Paul was. And we can always be moving forward and pursuing Christ, not stopping, not letting other people hinder us. It is possible. I get encouraged reading this because even though it's difficult, Paul's essentially saying, "I did it. Here's what I do. You can do that too." So if we adopt these aspects, we as well can have a mindset for moving forward. Number one, forget the past. Isn't that in essence what he's saying? Forget the past. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. That word forget means to lose out of mind. If we just take this passage of Scripture, we see how did Paul apply that principle himself. He had to forget his former accolades. He listed them out, but he said in comparison to Christ, I have to forget those. His accolades and the things that he achieved in his life no longer mattered. They weren't important. Because nothing is of greater value than Christ. He had to forget his former attitude. You should have a different look on life when you come to know Christ. And that outlook should be constantly being conformed into his image. Your attitude towards yourself, towards other people, towards the Lord, all of those things should be constantly being developed. But he had to forget the former attitude he had, the former attitude he had of God, the former attitude he had towards other people. He had to forget his former actions. This man persecuted people. Got to witness the stoning of Stephen, that absolutely great preacher. He had to live through all of that. And he was the one doing a lot of it. But at this juncture, if he's going to pursue Christ, he had to forget those actions. And in forgetting, it was not to forget who he was without Christ, but to not let those things hinder who he now was and how he needed to continue pursuing him. The past has a way of holding us there, and sometimes we don't mind allowing it to do so. Instead, we have to learn what we allow our past to do. And thankfully, I think our text shows us that as well. He allowed his past to humble him. He realized how wrong he was and how prideful he had become. He even says, "Where was my confidence? If anybody can have confidence in the flesh, it's me. Look at my accolades. Look at these things that were my life." But no, he allowed his past to humble him. He allowed his past to honor Christ's work in his life. Recounting who he was only reminded him of what the Lord did for him. It wasn't time spent reminiscing of what he now misses out on. Never sat around the table with his friends and said, "Man, I'll tell you what. And listen, I know persecuting other Christians is wrong. But man, those journeys that we made together, fellas, those were good times." No, no, no. All of that and his past, he now utilized to honor Christ. This is what God brought me out of. And can I just say, none of this stops after you get saved. It's not just talking about pre-Christ and post-Christ. Yesterday was the past. What are you holding on to from yesterday that's hindering you today? What fault or failure did you commit yesterday and today you fell flat on your face because you thought, "Well, I guess I just can't do it. Devil's just discouraging me." Well, no, now you're discouraging yourself and you're allowing your past to hinder you from pursuing Christ. Guilty as charged. He allowed his past to humble him. He allowed his past to honor Christ's work in his life. He allowed his past to help create a mindset to move forward. All that once was once a life lost in sin. Thus it became a motivator to leave the past in the past and focus on following the Lord. It is hard to move forward while holding on to what is behind. And if you take pursuing Christ seriously, this aspect of it is imperative. It is extremely imperative. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said it. What else does he mean by forgetting those things which are behind? Following the Lord requires us to choose Him over everything else. And here's what's encouraging about this. You say, well, he just listed out all the things in his past. So obviously he didn't completely forget it. No, the word forget just means to lose out of mind. If that thing, if that event, if that mindset that you have is now stopping you from pursuing Christ, we now have an obligation to forget those things which are behind. Because those things have a tendency to keep me behind. And we can't allow the past to do that. And so if you want to have a mindset for moving forward, forget the past. Does past failure hinder you? Past fear? Past faults? Do you harbor bitterness? Do you carry unforgiveness? Those are just a couple examples of many things that we can have in our past that if we do not deal with those things, you cannot move further with the Lord. How much control does your past have on your future? Now, ignorance would claim that this is always easy. It surely isn't sometimes. And I had to remind myself of this. We still must remember not to let infidelity, that is the lack of faith, to cause us not to let go. You might say, but you don't understand what this is. You don't understand how big of a hold that this has on my life. You don't understand what I went through. No, I don't. Guarantee I probably haven't been through half the stuff people in this room have been through. All I can do is look at the same Bible you look at. Take the same advice that you should take. And he tells me, this is what I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Because my focus is Christ. Let's go back to the beginning. Nothing is of greater value. Is the difficulty of your past of greater value to you than the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ? And so if we want that mindset, we have to forget the past. A mindset for moving forward requires us, and Paul exemplified, that we have to forge a path. He says, in reaching forth unto those things which are before. Reaching forth means to stretch forward upon. The word forge is the word I used, can be defined as moving ahead steadily. Paul said he was reaching forth, which denotes a steady effort in following after what was before him. With life being a marathon, not a sprint, this means we must forge a path. That is, move ahead steadily. But the fact of the matter is that we are supposed to move and not stop moving. And so if we don't have the mindset of forgetting the past, not allowing what is behind us to now hinder us, then the next step is we have to forge the path, have a plan, a method to make sure that we can move ahead steadily. Those that retire soon discover in their older age that not moving means deterioration of the body. It is imperative for them to stay active. And such is the case for those that find a spot of spirituality to settle in at. Nowhere does Scripture state to find a level you are comfortable with and stay there. We are always moving, either forwards or backwards. It is not possible for us to be stagnant in the Christian life and in our relationship with God. We're either moving towards Him or we're moving away from Him. Paul never allowed himself to arrive. I think a lot of times we get in this thing for as long as we do and we get to a place where we say, yeah, I'm familiar with everything. Yeah, I've heard the stories, I've heard the sermons, I've heard it all at this point, and I just don't really know how much more I can fit in. I don't really know if something is filled with enough truth to actually impact me and move me to really make a change in my life at this point in time. That should never be the case. Paul never allowed himself to arrive. I don't care if you're 5 years old or if you're 75 years old. There are things that the Word of God speaks, and there might be the same reiterations over and over again, but it's still truth, and there's still more to be applied. Pursuing Christ is not just all about the name of Christ. It's everything that has to do with Christ. It's other people that Christ would like to reach. And so we have to forge a path. He never allowed himself to arrive. He embraced suffering. There are some of us that never move forward simply because we know that a difficulty is going to arise and we don't want to face that. We don't want to suffer. But Paul embraced it. And why? Because he says, I get to be closer to my Lord. I have a greater way to now relate to who He is and to what He did for me. And so I'm going to embrace suffering. Moving forward in the Christian life means there's going to be suffering and we have to embrace it. And that is why the mindset is imperative. Because if you do not condition your mind, get filled with the Scriptures, then God cannot further you. You will not be able to move forward. He never allowed himself to arrive. He embraced suffering, and then he kept things in sight to reach for. Can I just ask you this? What are you reaching for? Yes, it's Christ. Yes, it's heaven. Yes, it's eternal life. Yes, yes, yes. It's all those things. But what are you reaching for? What is on the other end of your stretching forth? I mean, when other people view our lives, when other people look at you, do they say, that guy's always, he's always got a purpose about him. Just, he always seems like he's trying to reach somebody. He's trying to get somewhere. I can't see it. I don't know where he's going. But man, he's just always moving. What are you reaching for? Christians have a horrible habit of knowing the right words to say to make it appear that they are doing something, when in reality, there's no substance to their speech. It is all words with no real action. We can reach and stretch with nothing on the other end, leaving others to wonder what we are reaching for. But if it is Christ and knowing Him, then what we reach for becomes our pursuit of all things related to Him. It becomes the lost. It becomes our family. It becomes church. It becomes the younger generations. It becomes holiness and joy and peace and humility and God's glory among all other things. Yes, Christ is before us. Yes, heaven is before us. Yes, eternity is before us. But what else is grabbing your attention more than those? Do you really know Him? Do you really want to? Lastly, this, a mindset for moving forward requires us to forget the past. We cannot allow things of old to hinder us for now and for the future. We cannot allow things of yesterday to hinder us from pursuing Christ. We have to forge a path, always moving ahead steadily. It's not a marathon. It's a marathon, not a sprint. There we go. But lastly, this, you have to fight for the prize. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And what does press toward mean? To pursue. Can I just say, it is astonishing viewing how truth is manifested in our lives. How we sometimes live as though we don't have the precious promises of eternal life. Can I ask, how grateful are we? How much do we really appreciate what we have in Christ? Meanwhile, Paul, knowing his prize was not based on his own righteousness or performance of godliness, yet fought and worked in order to come closer to his Savior and endure suffering just to have a greater fellowship with Him. And half the time, we can't walk out of church with any marketable difference in our lives. So what are we pressing towards? What do we stretch and strain for? Is Christ at the other end of our goals? our ambitions, our mission. We cannot allow anything to hinder our forward movement and pursuit of knowing Him. But I am afraid that we have. And Lord, help us. It ought to be our prayer that He would help us adopt a mindset of forgetting what's in the past, forging a path forward, and fighting for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do you have a mindset of moving forward? Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your help tonight. I'm thankful that I can look into Your Word and see wonderful truths, Lord, that genuinely aid me and guide me in my life. And I pray that it would be able to do that for others here tonight. And so please speak to us through it, Lord, and help us, Father. We love You tonight. And Lord, I just lift up our church to You as we move forward this year, that You'd be able to use us, Lord, that we would be a church that pursues You. We love You tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.